You know, I remember a time in my life where I questioned everything. I questioned everything. There was nothing that was really certain in my life. In fact, it's kind of like I questioned like a child. Remember how your children questioned all the time? They were always inquisitive about things, and they just wanted answers for everything. Well, it was kind of like that, yet, you know, I was not physically a child, but I still questioned like a child. Now, this questioning was not something out of curiosity. It was just something because I didn't know, and I wanted answers. I wanted answers for, well, at the time, I was pretty selfish, so I wanted answers for my life, right? So I would question God. I would question just anybody out in the world. I would just want to have answers about anything and everything was going on. In fact, it reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, where he was talking about thinking and having thoughts like a child. Maybe you guys remember it, maybe you don't, but I want to read it just quick here so you guys will have it fresh in your memory of what I'm talking about. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put away the ways of childhood behind me. It talks about when we were a child, we thought like a child. We behaved like a child. Now, this is not something where Paul is talking about just being young in age. He's talking about in maturity level. He's talking about perhaps your walk with Jesus. He was certainly, you know, this reminding me of my maturity level at the time. Because I questioned everything. I was not mature, and I was not, well, as Paul would say it, in manhood yet. I questioned everything. But then I was introduced to somebody who changed my life. I was introduced to somebody who was able to take my life and turn it around and start providing me the answers to all the questions that I had for life. And if my wife was here right now, I would tell you this to give her a standing ovation, because she is the one who actually turned my life to Jesus. And because of that, I am now who I am today. Still a work in progress, right? We all a work in progress. But today, I have many more answers than I ever thought I would have at any one point in my time way back then. I have those answers because somebody came in and changed everything. A God who was not only loving and merciful, but a God who knew everything. A God knows everything. Did you realize that? He knows everything. A God who perceives all. There's a big word that we use sometimes in the vernacular of it. It's called omniscience. All-knowing. And that's our Lord. That's who He is. He is all-knowing. It's a part of His nature, His very makeup. And in this series, we're talking about the character of God. We're talking about the attributes, the nature of God. Our God is all-powerful, right? He is all-present. He is all-knowing. That's our God. It's part of who He is, to know everything. You know, there's a verse, a part of Scripture in Romans that speaks of it in chapter 11. In fact, if you have your Bibles with you right now or your apps, can we just turn to the book of Romans, chapter 11. Chapter 11 in the book of Romans. Because it speaks to our God and being omniscient, all-knowing. Chapter 11 in Romans, starting at verse 33. And this is what mine says, my translation. This is how it's written for me. Some of you might have some different words in there, but it all carries the same meaning. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable His judgments and His paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? That's a question. That's not a statement. That is a question. Or who has been His counselor? Another question. Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. to be him. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I look at those words and that part of the scripture, and I think about, in the beginning it says, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. The depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Who knows that besides God? I don't know. I thought I was a very smart young man back then. You know, I'd gone to college. You know, I had excelled at many different things. I thought I was pretty good. But then when I came to know the Lord, I figured out that, well, I wasn't all that. There were a lot of things that I didn't know. A lot of things that I still needed to be taught. Not only having knowledge of it, but to understand it, and then having the wisdom to apply it to my life. And that's where God came in to change my life. In fact, there's a verse in Job in chapter 28 where he says, "For he views the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens." This is our God. He sees everything under the heavens, right? He views the ends of the earth. He knows all of that and so much more. It's to say that he knows everything. It's part of who he is. He knows what happened yesterday. He knows what's happening today. And already knows what's going to happen tomorrow. This is our God. He knows all, understands all. In fact, he possesses perfect knowledge. He possesses perfect understanding. He possesses perfect wisdom. That's part of our God's makeup, his very nature. In fact, he's infallible. That's one of those words that sometimes we don't always look to all the time, is infallible. What's that mean? That means he cannot make a mistake. Our God cannot make a mistake. Our Lord and Savior cannot make a mistake. He is incapable of being wrong. There's not a lot of people that we can say that about, right? Certainly nobody I know besides our Lord and Savior. And even sometimes as a follower, we don't give credit to God what he should have to say he is perfect. We question him to say, God, are you sure you got this right? But he is infallible. He cannot make a mistake. And I love the fact that he is that way. Well, if he wasn't that way, he wouldn't be God, now would he? That's who our Lord and our Savior is. And because he knows all, because he understands all, because he possesses perfect wisdom, that means he knows us. He knows each and every one of us, not just as a group, but each and every one of us as a singular person. He knows every aspect of every part of our life. He knows all those things. In fact, I make it a joke many times that he knows the hairs on our head, right? Some people he has to count less for. But he still knows every aspect of what your existence is. Every molecule of every atom, every minute part of your person, your makeup, your experiences, your personality, your mind, your heart, all of it. He knows it all. And sometimes probably better than you do yourself. He knows. He knows us. And because of that, I know that he loves us. The psalmist wrote, kind of a very well-known passage in chapter 139, the psalmist wrote, "You have searched me, Lord. You have searched me. And you know me. You know when I sit, and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar." He says, "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." He knows us. He knows so much more about us than we want to give him credit for. And we can understand that he does know us, even as followers of Jesus. We get to hear about it, and you're hearing about it today, and you might be of a mindset right now that, well, I don't want God to see all of me. I don't want him to know all of me. I don't want to him to see those parts where, but we, and because we don't want him to perceive all that, because we don't want him to know all that, we act like God does not know these things. We walk around in our lives fooling ourselves into thinking that God does not know me. He doesn't know every part of, he doesn't know what I'm going through right now. That there's somehow some magical answer that God doesn't know me unless I talk to him, unless I pray to him. That's not our God. That's not our Savior. Our Savior knows every aspect. If he didn't know every aspect, then he wouldn't be able to maybe necessarily grant you forgiveness. Because if you didn't confess your sins, yet he still knows our sins. So when you give your life to him and you believe in Jesus and you pour out your heart to him and you know you're a follower, it doesn't matter whether you have said that sin or not. He knows the sin and it's part of the package. Now it's better when we confess our sins, right? And he's faithful and just and he will forgive us of our sins, right? But yet we try to believe in ourselves that God does not know all things or does not know us. We move around pretending to hide ourselves from God. You ever done that? Where you've tried to hide yourself from God? You know, when I think about trying to hide yourself from God, I think about Adam and Eve. Do you? Adam and Eve, where they were in the garden, right? And they had just done something that was, well, wasn't very smart. Even something they had been told they weren't supposed to do. As a kid, you remember doing something you were told not to do? You know? Must be me, because all y'all perfect. Somebody said I was naughty. I've already given you confessions of some of the things I've done as a child. So you know I was not perfect. Well, Adam and Eve they entered into this thing called sin, right? They ate of this fruit, the forbidden fruit of the knowledge of good and evil, right? But what did they do right afterwards? Right afterwards, when God was walking through the garden, what did they try to do? They tried to hide themselves, you know? They tried to put on the camouflage and get in the bushes. Well, you know, so God, oh, you know, God can't see me, you know? Especially, you know, I'm going to put this on. I can hide wherever I want. But that's not the way it works with our Lord and our Savior, does it? It's kind of hard to hide from somebody that knows what we're going to do before we even do it. It's difficult. But they tried to hide themselves from God, not realizing that they were naked before him. And you'll read in Scripture where they said, well, we realized we were naked, but that's not the naked I'm talking about. The naked I'm talking about is God already knew what was going on, that they were bare naked before God, not physically, but mentally, in their heart, spiritually, in their soul, that they were bare naked before God, not only after they ate the fruit, but even before. But they tried to hide. And we try to hide. We try to hide our nakedness, right? And who we are. But we cannot hide ourselves from God. Nothing is hidden from God. Do you know anywhere in the Bible and Scripture that you can read that nothing is hidden from God? Anything come to mind? Mine came up in the book of Hebrews. If you still have your Bibles there, you can take a look at it in Hebrews chapter 4, where it says, nothing is hidden from God. Chapter 4, so if you're already there, you can look at verse 13. It says, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Everything is laid bare before him. We cannot hide ourselves. In fact, Jeremiah was one who said, we can't hide. We cannot hide in secret places. We can't go out and we can't hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says God. That's Jeremiah 23. So we have God in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, reminding his children, you cannot hide from me. I see everything you do. In fact, sometimes he says, I know every thought before you utter it from your tongue that you have. But sometimes we choose to live in a reality where we think God cannot see us, especially if we carried some unconfessed sin. If we carry something unconfessed in us, we don't want anybody to know that. You know, that's something that's like, okay, I didn't confess this to anybody. So God, you don't know this yet. God, I didn't tell you this, so you don't know it. So we live in a life where, we live in a life where we don't want to see him because we carry guilt and shame. We carry that. We all do. I don't stand up here pretending that I'm perfect and I'm not like everybody else. I'll tell you straight up, I pretend sometimes like God doesn't know this. And then it's like, okay, then I get the realization that, well, he already knows it. I might as well confess it and get rid of it and break off the chains. We talked about breaking the strongholds, right? We sang about it. So it's like we need to get rid of all this stuff in our life, to confess it to him, to get rid of the sin and the shame and the guilt of it, to realizing that God already knows it, so we might as well give it to him. Let him carry that for a while. He says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, right? And I will give you rest. Right? We believe that, don't we? So if we believe that, we hear that, we read it, how come we don't live it? I don't know. This is where our God comes in. Because we don't want him to see us. We don't want him to see our shame and our guilt. And we drive a wedge between him and us. We put the wedge in there. We close the door. He stands there knocking, right? But we say, okay, God, I'm not going to let you in because I don't want to bear this to you. I don't want to reveal this to you. Sometimes we just don't want to get rid of it. That we're comfortable with our sin. But sooner or later, that's going to catch up to every one of us, right? That it catches up to us. And sooner or later, we will feel the heaviness. We will start feeling the guilt and the shame of that sin, and we just need to let it go. I think the popular word there is repent. We repent from those things. And it doesn't mean that we're a bad person. It just means that we're human. It just means that we're a child of God, we're born into sin, and we carry that with us. But we don't have to carry the weight with us because we have a Lord and Savior who comes into our lives and changes our lives. Right? God can and does forgive. And because of that happened, because of his omniscience, because of his all-knowing, his perfect wisdom, perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom, that he sees us. He sees us as we are. Yes, he sees our imperfect blemishes, but he also sees us as his children, as his beloved. He sees us as somebody that he made, that he stitched us all together, that we are part of his family. And he wants us to be closer than ever. So Jesus sees us. He came here to make a way for each and every one of us. Jesus did this because he knew us. And our Father in heaven, knowing all, knew we needed a way to him. He knew it. So he sent his son to be that way, right? Jesus says that he knows his sheep. We just came off a series not too long ago, the I Am series, where Jesus says, I am the shepherd, right? In fact, he said this, as John 10:4, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and they know me. I know my sheep. It's amazing when you think about how God knows us. You know, sometimes shepherds are able to go out and pick out their sheep from a flock of multitudes. We talked about that, about how sometimes they would store them all together, and he was able to pick them out. And sometimes it was not only, they call a name, but he would know them by their markings. Sometimes he would know them by their blemishes. He says, I know that sheep is mine. I know these blemishes, I know these markings. But he calls them anyway because they're part of his flock. We all belong to Jesus in that way because Jesus knows us. As the good shepherd, he knows everything about us. There's no secrets are kept from him. No secrets can ever be kept from him. Jesus was thirsty one day, and he sat at a well. And a lady came to draw water from the well. And he revealed to this lady, the Samaritan woman, remember that? He began to talk to her about having living water. And then revealed to her that he knew everything about her. He said, go get your husband. What did she say? I do not have a husband. You are right. In fact, you've had five. And the one you are with now is not your husband. Jesus knew it. He knew it before he even met her. The Pharisees could not trick Jesus because, well, he knew it was in their hearts, right? And just as Jesus saw Nathanael sitting below that fig tree, Jesus sees each and every one of you wherever you're at every moment of every, well, at every move in your life. Jesus knows you. Jesus sees our hearts. And that's a great thing. That is not a moment to be, you know, downtrodden. It's not a moment to be sad. It's like, okay, Jesus, you already know my heart, so that means I can just give up all that stuff. I don't need to carry that with me. That's luggage I don't need. Instead of carrying all that stuff with me, well, that's like having a carry-on bag. I remember to go to Tanzania, we could take one bag, really, right? It had to be a tiny bag, too. And we tucked this tiny bag, and as long as it fit in this area, then, you know, that's what it was. So we packed everything in one bag. That meant I had to be very choosy about what I took, right? The same thing is when you're in life. You need to be choosy about what you're going to carry. You need to choose the things that are going to help you out and be something positive for life that you carry with you. The rest of that stuff, you let it go. You give that to Jesus. And when that happens, you're carrying, you got that one little bag. Boy, you got a lot more energy than you used to have. You don't have to carry it all over all the time. That's why Jesus knows all. He sees all. That's why he's here. He's to come into our lives and be a part of us. And when we accept him, when we accept Jesus, and he begins to live in us, inside of us. He begins to live inside of us. I remember the change. I remember the night. I remember the time I was sitting in the squad car, October 12th, sitting in the car, dark all out. I was parked somewhere. I had some music going on. I was just there in the car. Maybe I've told you the tale, but I'm going to tell you again. And I was sitting there, and I was praying to God. I was praying to Jesus. And I said, Jesus, I need you in my life. I want you to come. I want you to be part of my life right now. And in that instance, boom. It felt like a ton of bricks had just been lifted off me. Gives me goosebumps today to remember it. Perhaps each and every one of you knows the time, the day, the hour, the second of the moment that you gave your life to Jesus. If you don't know that feeling, let's talk. I would love to talk to you about it. If you don't remember that feeling, I would love to talk to you about it. I want you to experience that, and I want you to be able to go back and experience it all the time. That you carry with you, that's the luggage you carry. The rest of it you leave behind. And that's the way our Jesus does things, because he sees each and every one of us. He believes in our hearts. He loves each and every one of us for who we are. Because Jesus literally lives inside of us, literally lives inside of us, he knows about everything that we do. He knows how we project to the world, to people around of us, the mask that which we want them to see, the things that are good. He sees that, but he also sees the things that, well, maybe are not so good. And that's okay. It's okay. Because we live because Jesus is inside of us. And he has given us life. We can't hide from Jesus. We can't keep secrets from God. He knows us all. He knows us so intimately that, you know, and we can't get away from him. He sees into our very hearts. God sees the polished version of us as we present to him and we present to everybody else. But he also sees the flaws hidden underneath. And we all have flaws. And it's okay that we have flaws. Because even the most flawless diamond has flaws if you look close enough. Even the most flawless diamond has flaws if you look close enough. But it's okay that we have flaws. Because even in our flaws, he loves us. And he offers us forgiveness. He offers us mercy. He offers us grace. And I hope you know and you live wrapped in the embrace of this God that I'm speaking of. The God that truly comes next to you and says, hey, I want to be a part of your life. I know the things. You don't have to be perfect for me to love you. In fact, I'm going to welcome you in your flawed state, and we will work together to make you perfect. This is our Lord. He welcomes us in. He gives us the embrace and says, you are part of my flock now, and because I know you. I knew you before, but I want to get you to know me better. And that's what we do. So we need to realize and understand that our God is all-knowing. You cannot hide from him. You cannot, you can try to run from him, but it's not going to work out well. So if you don't know this Lord and Savior that welcomes you in the way you are, now's the time to ask. Ask that Lord, to ask our Savior into your heart so you can let go of all the heavy baggage and pick up the light one. He loves each and every one of us more than you can possibly imagine. So as we continue our existence, as we continue to go on and live with our Lord, I pray that this is part of your understanding. This is part of your wisdom. That our Lord and our Savior knows all, and he loves you. So as we continue to worship our Lord for the rest of this morning and beyond, let's remember those things. Let's remember how God really is involved in our lives. He's part of that very makeup of all things.